Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Your heavens are open. Your prayers are answered. God is answering you by fire. Whatever is this come, the message that does not make the glory of God to shine forth in our lives, the fire of God will purify it and consume it in the mighty name of Jesus. Each one of us, we are rising higher to be more effective in worship, to be more effective in serving, to be more effective in mission in the mighty name of Jesus. Please give the Lord a big hand. That's a very good one. The first morning in the Holy Ghost Commercial 2017. Thank you for the spirit of worship in the atmosphere. Thank you for the word that you sent to us like fire. Thank you for your servant that administered to us. Lord, receive the glory in Jesus' name. Our hearts are open. Let your word come again. Like rain from heaven to refresh our spirit. Let your word come again. Like fire to purify our lives. Let your word come again. Like hammer to break the rock in pieces. Let your word come again. Like the sword piercing asunder the soul and the spirit, that we may be sharp and effective in your hand. Lord, let your word come again and bless our lives, that none of us will ever remain the same again. Thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Somebody say amen. If you don't pray, there is no success. And the degree to which you pray is the degree to which God will give you success. Whether in business or in career or in any aspect of life, prayer is the foundation for success. If you pray well, you will live well. If you pray through, you will break through. Prayer failure is power failure. If you take your time to really pray, you will see that there is a God in heaven who sits on the throne, who controls the affairs of the universe, and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Somebody say amen. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no hard ground anywhere. There is no ground that cannot be broken. There is no ground that cannot be taken. There is no hard ground. There are only hard sowers. If the sowers will soften the ground with their tears, the ground will open up. The ground will, when people pray, the incredible happen. When people pray, the impossible becomes possible. When people pray, heaven open up. When I was praying, I was just responding to the Holy Spirit. Just went on my prayer walk. Maramakaya bakabakadaba. Just, I saw wealth in Doha. I saw their tower. But the atmosphere was empty. It's the richest nation on earth based on per capita income. Am I correct? Their currency is one of the strongest. There is only one currency that is stronger than their currency. That's the British pound. The dollar prostrates before their currency. They're so rich. And the Qataris are just about 300,000 in population. But the population of the immigrants are over 5 million. But there is no permanent immigrant in Qatar. You cannot buy and own land. And you must have a sponsor. So the 300,000 controls all the others. That was the kind of a place. And I said, God, this place must open up to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. God opened the heaven. God opened the heaven. I was just praying. And at a breakfast meeting, one breakfast meeting, remember I told you that the license to pastor a church, to open a church, will take about 3 years to open. at one breakfast meeting, the license to open a church that would take 3 years was given me at an instance. The man who controls the license was at the breakfast table. And there was one who asked me, do we want to open a church? I said, sure. What am I living for? The only thing I'm living for is for his kingdom to advance, for souls to be saved, for churches to be planted, until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. That's what I'm living for. I said, sure. And they gave the license in principle. And I collected it before I left. Something that should have taken 3 days. And then I now discovered that one of my sons, who had been a staff in media, had gone ahead to Qatar. He went to look for a job, but God had preceded him there. God knew I was coming, and his church would be open, and there must be a pastor. And I saw him. I said, I am presiding bishop. I want to invoke the right of my office. I will ordain you as a pastor now. And when I ordain you now, you are a pastor for the rest of your life. And it is valid anywhere. And I ordained him instantly. Come and give the Lord a hand. One of the oaths I took before the altar of God as a bishop was that I will raise and ordain people and send them into the ministry. It's an oath. And I saw that as an opportunity. And he said, I'm not ready. He said, Daddy, I'm not ready. I said, keep your mouth shut. I said, I carry grace. The grace I carry will come on you. Right from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heavens suffers violence, and the violent take it back. So my young pastor, my young boy Ayo, is a pastor in Qatar today. And listen to this. They started with 5. Now they are 27. And by the grace of God, I'm going to be with them again in October. And I told him, I said, I'm bringing mommy along. So you must double the number before I come. Double. A portion for me, a portion for mommy. And they are running now to make sure it is strong. Praise the Lord. And Ayo is not half the age of most of us here. Ayo got born again a few years ago. Many of you have been eating the food for so long. It's time for you to raise altar for God. Somebody say, I hear. You have been eating the food for so long. Some of you have been eating my food for 27 years in Christ Life Church. And you have eaten and eaten your belly full. You need to be thrown somewhere so you can pioneer a work for God. May God throw you there. Some of you, when I come to Australia, I will meet you there. Yeah. Raising Christ Life Church altar. When I come to Canada, some of you, I will meet you there. Yeah. May the hand of God scatter you. Yeah. Don't worry. When God takes you to where you are taking you, he's replacing us here. As he takes people away, the Kerus are here now. Please stand on your feet. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. Face the church. Let them see your face. Give them a big hand now. Hallelujah. This man wants everybody in the Arabian Peninsula. Please spare us. Canada needs some. Europe needs some. Africa needs some. Don't carry everybody to Saudi Arabia. In fact, some here, they are afraid of going to Saudi Arabia because they don't want to be beheaded. Praise the Lord. The Lord will use you for the glory of his name. Let me hear your amen. So my son who facilitated that trip, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go at all. I didn't know him much. He knew me. I didn't know him. And as a principal, I don't go anywhere if I don't know you, except you are recommended by somebody that I know who knows you. But it was very persistent, very persistent. So, you know, for a long time I didn't answer his letter. But I was praying one night and the Lord said, I should go. And I said, okay, Lord, the word of the captain is a command. God does not give advice. He speaks as God. So I said, Lord, I'll go. And I was there for, how many days? 5 days? And it's one of the best trips I've taken in my life. To be able to pray over the Arabian Peninsula and to see a church born in the Arabian Peninsula within 5 days. And to see that God had preceded me there, I sent somebody who would pioneer the church. And to get the license that would have taken 3 years in one breakfast. And then to be instrumental in breaking new ground for Christian worship in a whole nation. I give God all the praise. Come and give the Lord a big hand. Give the Lord a clap if you want to clap. Clap. Clap if you want to clap. To God be the glory. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. Now, he answers by fire. Somebody repeat, say, he answers by fire. By the way, please get, how many of you enjoy Bishop Devika? I didn't want him to stop. Which one? Is it the exposition or the preaching or the word of wisdom or the singing? When he's 71-year-old man is singing like Don Moen, then that's the anointing. All right? And you can catch his knowledge and his spirit in these books. Go get it. Keep taking the tablets. And this one, the five attributes of a church in revival. All my pastors, please make sure you get a copy. They're available in the bookshop. Take that. Praise the Lord. Somebody please repeat. Say, he answers by fire. Louder. By fire. Say at a go. He answers. Say it at a go. The purpose of my message this morning is to reinforce your trust in God. He is not dead. He's alive. And to reinforce your confidence in the fact that he answers prayers. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. He that comes to God must believe that he is. Somebody say he is. Let me hear you. He's alive. He's everywhere. He's right beside you. And if you're born again, he's right inside you. He is your father. Please declare, say God is my father. Say with confidence, say God is my father. And he answers prayer. He answers prayers. In that scripture, he said, God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This had almost become a doctrine for me now. It had almost become my doctrine. Answer to prayer is a reward. Answer to prayer is not a gift. Answer to prayer is not grace. Answer to prayer is a reward. It is the people that exercise themselves in prayer that will get a reward. The people who don't, they won't get it. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Jesus Christ our Lord said, when we pray, we should go to the closet, shut the door, and pray to our Father who sees in secret, and that our Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Somebody say reward. Reward. Say it. Louder. Reward is a payback for something you did. You don't get a salary in a place where you didn't work. You don't. You just, you go there and you want to collect salary. And said, yes, are you employed here? He said, no, but I learned to pay people salary here. If you hang around too long, they will call the police to arrest you. So Jesus Christ said, when you pray in secret, your Father who sees in the open, we reward you openly. Who sees in the secret? So there could be two friends. Doctor, please come. Come, doctor. Pastor Nathaniel, come. There could be two friends, colleagues, both of them born again. Probably both of them filled with the Holy Spirit. And one is consistent in prayer, in seeking God. When it's time to fast, he fasts. When it's time to worship, he bows before him. When it's time to pray, he's very serious. He doesn't play games. And the other is just careless about it. Give them time. The difference will be very clear. Time will tell, because time always tells. Always. In fact, if they continue like that, they'll get to a point they will find it difficult to relate as friends anymore, because one is high up there and the other is low. Why one keeps seeking God and he keeps piling reward? Somebody say reward. And he keeps seeking God, keeps piling reward. The other is loafing around and he remains at the same level. You will not remain at the same level. Amen. Day by day, you will rise. Amen. You will shine. You go from glory to glory. Amen. So let's take prayer very, very seriously. It's so important. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Give them a hand, please. Please give them a hand. So it's a reward. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 28, Bishop Ogunjola, please, when my time is up, just give me a signal. Bishop Carr said he's under authority under me. Fine. So, Bishop Ogunjola, I'm under authority now. Praise the Lord. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 18. You know the story too well. That was a very powerful message we had yesterday. So, that you are a mighty man of God and you are present in a nation does not stop the nation from going into corruption and unrighteousness until you rise to the task. Elijah was a very powerful man. And the whole nation went into idolatry until he stood up and challenged it. And God wants us to do something about the state of our nation, Nigeria. And the best way we can do something about it is to bend the knees, not to keep watching, not to keep complaining. A few days ago, when I told some people, some of the guests that we're going to have on the last day of the convention, and I mentioned one of them, everybody was grumbling. What to do is not to grumble. What to do is to pray. There's a God in heaven that answers by fire. And there is nothing he cannot change. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I want to encourage you. I want to reinforce your confidence in God. I want to reinforce your confidence in his ability. I want to reinforce your confidence in his love. He loves you. I want to reinforce your confidence in his care. He cares for you. I want to reinforce your confidence in who you are to God. As his child, born again, in the presence of God, you are not tolerated, you are celebrated. Heaven welcomes you. And his ears are open to your cry. So let's take advantage of it to change our lives, to change our families, to change our nation, to change our world. There is nothing our God cannot change. And therefore, there is nothing the man who prays cannot change. Because prayer brings God into the situation. So, Elijah rose to the challenge. And in 1 Kings, he told them, he said, you bring your bullock, chapter 18, verse 24. Call on the name of your gods, idols. They have eyes do not see. Ears, they didn't hear. Mouth, they couldn't talk. Dead. And I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And if you look down in the scripture, you will see what happened. Verse 37, please. Praise God. Okay, let's read it from verse 36. And it came to pass, in the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things by thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their hearts back again. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. They saw answer to prayers and they turned to God. From this convention, through your life, people will see answer to prayers. Amen. And they will turn to the Lord. Amen. They will ask you about your God. And they will submit to your God. Amen. King Nebuchadnezzar and all those kings of Babylon, through Daniel, they made a decree. Nobody should worship any other God except the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They became the ambassador, the witnesses through whom others turned to the Lord. That shall be our testimonies. Amen. Let me hear your amen. Amen. This is not really where I'm going. This is where I'm starting. But I want to point your attention to this. I was studying this scripture some time ago, and I discovered that the prayer of Elijah was not a long one at all. This prayer was less than 1 minute. Okay, let me read where the prayer started. Okay? It's in verse 36. And please time me. Look at your watch. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Can somebody say amen? That's the beginning of the prayer. That's the end of the prayer. It's still under 1 minute. Am I correct? I time myself here. Still under 1 minute. So the effectiveness of the prayer is not how long. The effectiveness of the prayer, the state of your heart, the quality of your relationship with God, the motive behind what you are praying for. He just wanted God to be glorified. He wanted idolatry to be banished in the land. He wanted the people to turn to God. His motive was right. His heart was upright. And was in a steadfast relationship with God. Then, a short prayer, fire came. And I thank God for the message we've had, that when God sent fire upon us, it is not to consume us, but to purify us, to eliminate the scum, the filth, the unrighteousness, so that we will be very, very powerful and effective in prayer. I pray that the prayer of all of us will receive instant answer. If that is you, say amen. But you see, The matter of God proving that it's the God that answers prayer did not start with Elijah. No. Way back to Genesis, God answered the prayer of Abel when he raised an altar to the Lord, and the fire of God came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. We know that. God answered the prayer of Noah when he raised an altar unto the Lord. Genesis chapter 8 verse 20. He raised an altar to the Lord and fire came. Now, there's something about Abraham. Abraham was a man of prayer. I'm going to zero in on him in this latter part of. Was a man of prayer who took his time to really pray. In my study of the scripture, I discovered that everywhere Abraham went, he raised an altar to the Lord. Everywhere. Let me give you a scripture. You can search it out. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. He raised an altar. Genesis chapter 12. Okay, look at that. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto thy seed, will I give this land? And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He built an altar. Look at verse 8. In verse 8 again, look at what happened to the man. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, and having Bethel on the west, and here on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. The life of Abraham was never complete without the altar. As he moved, he will raise an altar. Wherever, he will raise an altar. Wherever, he will raise an altar. And the altar is a place of worship. The altar is a place of covenant. The altar is a place of sacrifice. The altar is a place of prayer. The altar is a place of connecting divine help. Show me an individual whose life revolves around the altar. I will show you somebody that the enemy cannot defeat. Because when the enemy comes up, the God of the altar will arise. If your life revolves around the altar, every life will be good. Because it is through the altar of prayer, you connect with the blessing. Somebody say the blessing. Let me hear you. Come on now. Louder now. I know you are writing. You connect with the blessing. Somebody say the blessing. Not a blessing. When you buy a car, that's a blessing. When you buy land, that's a blessing. When you build a house, that's a blessing. When your daughter gets married, that's a blessing. When the baby arrives, that's a blessing. But we're talking of the blessing. The blessing is the root. Blessings are the fruits. The person that is connected with the blessing produces blessings everywhere he goes. Whatever he does prospers. Whatever he touches is blessed. Wherever he goes, there is a way. Where others fail, he succeeds. That shall be your testimony. As a carrier of the blessing. Let me hear a louder amen. And the altar is the place where you take advantage of the blessing. It's the altar. Because the root of the blessing is God. The origin of the blessing is God. The fountain of the blessing is God. The giver of the blessing is God. When you seek him and you connect with him, the blessing follows you everywhere. That's what God wants for man. For man, God wants us blessed. Somebody say blessed. Bless. Louder. Bless. Louder. Bless. Louder. Bless. I'd like you to declare, say, all the days of my life, I am blessed, and I shall walk in the blessing. Now, let me rush because of time. He's not signaling to me, but I'm signaling to myself. In Genesis chapter 1, verses, if you read from verses 26 to 29. That's the place the word blessing or bless is mentioned first. And Bible scholars teach us about the law of the first mention. When you get a place in the scripture where a subject is mentioned first, all the DNA of that subject is in that place. After God made man in his image, you had Bishop speak about it. He formed us. God did not speak man into existence. Hello, somebody. No. We're too dignified. He dignified us. Somebody say, I'm dignified. Ah. You are dignified. You are. You have value that cannot be quantified by any material terms. God spoke every other thing into existence. If he wanted, he could have spoken us into existence. Let there be man. And we'll show up. He's God. But he said no. He said, let us make man in our image. In fact, man is a creature of divine purpose. Genesis 1:26. I'm not here by accident. I came here sent on an assignment. I'm on mission. Commission from heaven. Let us make man in our image. Purpose defined. In our image. I don't carry the image of a baboon or chimpanzee or gorilla. Bishop Carr. Am I right? No. I carry the image of God. Whose image do you carry? Talk to me now. If you want to know how you should look like, don't look in the mirror. Look at God. When you look in the mirror, what you see is shadow. That's not the real you. As a matter of fact, what you see in the mirror is the image of the external facade. The real you is inside, made in the image of him that created him. So if you want to look at who you should be like, look at God. And what is not found in God should not be found in you. Because I'm made in the image of God. I'm speaking to your life. If there is sickness in your body, it must respond to my word. God is not sick. Why should you be sick? If it is not found in God, it shouldn't be found in you. God is not broke. God is not poor. Why should you be? Sin doesn't bang God, limit God. Why should it? If it is not found in God, it shouldn't be found in you. Somebody declare, say, I am made in the image of God. I want to say confidently, say, I am made in the image of God. In whose image are you made? Come on now. Talk to me. Come on. Oh, don't. I want you to talk and let the devil get mad. You had something. Thank you for that revelation. God has not replaced the worship leader in heaven. So I am. It doesn't matter whether I sing like Nightingale or I just sing like a toad or like a frog. He enjoys the sound of my voice because I'm his child. In whose image are you? David on the studio. I will praise you, Lord my God, for I am beautifully and wonderfully made. Appreciate yourself. Don't beat yourself down. You carry his image. Let me look at three people. Say, you carry God's image. Tell him. Tell him. So, my friend, your level of dignity is not determined by the office you occupy. I'm presiding bishop, so I'm... No. Thank God, the office I occupy is the level of my function. What determines my dignity is the fact that I carry the image of God. Not only do I carry the image of God by creation, through redemption, God now lives inside me. I am dignified. I have no price. I'm priceless. Tell your neighbor, say, you are priceless. You carry the image of God. Someone say, yeah. let's go on. I said he made us blessed. If you now read chapter 1, Genesis 1, 28-29. As soon as God breathed into man the breath of life, a man became a living soul. As man opened his eyes to behold his maker, the first interaction between God and man was the blessing. First interaction. That's where the word bless or blessing was mentioned first. First interaction between God and man reveals the purpose of God, that God wants every man blessed. Someone say blessed. Bless. Louder. Bless. Are you following me? Yes. Are you following me? Yes. If it is contrary to the blessing, it is taken out of your life. Yes. Now. Yes. By divine authority. Yes. Listen to me. I'm anointed to bless. When I speak, God carries it out. My words are not ordinary. I didn't call myself. I didn't send myself. I had an agenda for my life. He double-crossed me. He took me out of that agenda. He took that agenda out of my life. And he put the mantle of his grace upon me and put his word in my mouth. So whatever is contrary to the blessing in your life, by the sword of the Spirit proceeding out of my mouth, I eliminate it. I eliminate poverty. I eliminate shame. I eliminate sin. I eliminate oppression. I eliminate sickness. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. By the word of the Lord, you are delivered from destruction. You are delivered from the curse. You are delivered from affliction. You are blessed. 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 In the name of Jesus. Tell somebody, say, look at me. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Sit down. The first interaction was the blessing. And the Bible says, and God blessed them. How does God bless? He speaks. Don't play with the word of God. One word out of the mouth of God can change your life forever. And God blessed them. And if you look at verses 28 and 29, there are seven dimensions of the blessing that guarantees your total victory and dominion all through your journey in destiny, from the womb to the tomb. Bless. Someone say, I'm blessed. And he said, be fruitful. That's number one. That eliminates barrenness forever. It is impossible for me to be barren. The word of God guarantees my fruitfulness. The goat of my house cannot be barren. Anybody that genuinely relates to me and connects with the grace of God of my life can never be barren. Because the covenant works. He said, be fruitful, number one. He said, multiply, number two. Replenish the earth, number three. Subdue it, number four. Have dominion. Ooh. Of all the creatures in the animal kingdom, it's only man that is made erect. You're not to bend, you're not to bow, you're not to crawl, you're not to cringe. You have dominion here. As he is, so are we in this world. Somebody declare, say, I have dominion here. Are you afraid? Say, I have dominion here. Amen. You will walk in dominion all days of your life. All the grasshopper mentality will flush it out. You see, we need brainwashing. We need to put our head under the water of the word. So the word will flush out all the rubbish, all the failure, all the names they have called you that have stuck to you. Rahab the harlot. A human being called her harlot. But grace transformed her. She became brainwashed. That's why she became part of the progenitor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blind Bartimaeus. Blind was not his first name. was the name people given. In the course of this meeting, every label that people have given you that is wrong, the word of God will flush it out. The word will give you a new identity. A new identity. A new identity. A new identity. In the mighty name of Jesus. And then if you now look at verse 29, he said, I've given you seed. You will read it there. Seed. Somebody say seed. That's number six. The person that gives you seed has given you a future. The future is in the seed. The person that gives you a seed has given you greatness. If I hold an orange here in my hand, anybody can tell the number of seed inside that orange. But if I hold a seed of orange in my hand, only God can tell the number of oranges inside that seed. I'm holding forests of oranges in one seed. That's the power of the seed. It is seed that guarantees your perpetuity. That you go on from generation to generation. It is seed that gives you rest. If you don't have seed, you continue to labor and labor and labor until you die. Seed is divine empowerment big time. I have given you seed. And in that same verse 29, the seventh dimension, he said, I've given to you, it shall be food or meat. So he gave us food. So the seven elements of the blessing: increase, multiply, replenish. Replenish means, it's an old English, replenish. It was plenished before, a devastation took place, and it became a waste. So go and replenish. That's the power of restoration. That there is nothing the enemy destroyed that you cannot rebuild. A business has been run down, and you get there and you touch it and it begins to blossom. A family has been run down, you step in and there's restoration. A church has been run down, you step in and begin to blossom. That's the power to replenish. A divine empowerment. Replenish the earth. Subdue. In your journey in destiny, you will have opposition. The enemy will want to stop you. It's normal. But they cannot stand you. He said, no man will be able to stand you all the days of your life as well with Moses will be with you. The ability to subdue opposition is inside me. For your information, don't stand in my way. If you stand in my way, you will be crushed. I won't lift a finger, but heaven will crush you. Because in Exodus 22, verse 23, he said, it will be an enemy to my enemy and an adversary to my adversary. It's part of the blessing. Everything we need. And then he said, have dominion. I give you seed. I give you bread. I give you food. All the days of your life, you will walk in the blessing. Amen. Say all the days of my life, I will walk in the blessing. Every prophesy on your neighbor, say all the days of your life, you will walk in the blessing. Who is going to walk in the blessing? Come and shout hallelujah. And let me tell you God's one aspect of God's method. Can I go ahead? God blesses people through people. If you despise the person that God sent to bless you, you miss it. That rich man said, send somebody from the grave. Let them go and tell my brothers that there is hell here. He said, they have Abraham and Moses. They have the law and Moses. Ah, but they won't believe. If you send somebody from here, they will say, ah. If they don't believe those ones, even if we send somebody from here, they won't believe. The moment you despise the person that God sent to bless you, you miss a blessing. The blessing that is meant for today, receive your portion. Amen. There's a daily allocation for each day of this convention. Whatever heaven has packaged for today, receive your portion. Amen. My friend, there's a blessing for the morning. Day unto day uttered speech. There's a blessing for the night. Night unto night. Sweat forth praise. Whatever is packaged for this morning, receive your portion. I speak as the servant of the Most High God, set by God, sent by God, anointed by God to speak into your life. Receive your portion. Receive your portion. Receive your portion. You who came here, you will return the same way you came. You return blessed. 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 In the name of Jesus. Sit down. I was so finished. I want to get at a point because I may not return to this one again in the course of the meeting. God wanted Adam. I like everybody, please listen. This is very critical. God wanted Adam to pass the blessing on from generation to generation. One generation will praise their name unto another. The generation of the upright is blessed. But Adam failed. He didn't bring up his way, his children, to connect with the covenant, to honor the covenant. He failed. By the mercy of God, you will not fail.
Amen.
I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
His firstborn became a murderer. The one who was supposed to, who even had the fear of God, the murderer killed him. And then all manner of evil came on the face of the earth. If you study the scripture very well, from Genesis chapter 3 to Genesis chapter 8, last verse, there was no place where God blessed any man. It was a season of anger. In fact, the Bible says it repented God that he made man. God regretted. Ah, God. Let no situation arise where you will regret that you made me. Let no situation arise where you will regret that you saved me. Let no situation arise where you regret that you called me. Ah, help me to place you in everything. He regretted he made man. But in the midst of that, one man found grace. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Today, grace has located you. Whatever has been lost or stolen in your life before, grace restores it. Grace restores it. Grace restores it. In the name of Jesus. And you see, you know how grace was restored, what was lost was restored. Read Genesis 8, 19, 20, 21. Noah raised an altar. Somebody say altar. Please. My children, please listen. Don't play with your offering. Look at me, please. I'm not a guest visitor here raising money. I don't even do. Anyway, I don't preach for money. I don't. If it remains one day for me to be preaching for money, it means my job is over. Let God take me home. I pursue God. Money pursue me. People give me money daily. I'm talking of heavy money. They give me small, they give me big. I don't look for it. I look for God. But listen, what you put on the altar is more than money. Your offering is more than money. It's an expression of your love for God. Is an expression of how much you value God. And Pastor Ken Dejibola, that was an excellent exposition when you were in the scripture, when you were taking the offering. The person that is not rich towards God is a fool because you are missing out. God only asks for your candle and may give you his sunshine. God is not a taker. There is no body that gives genuinely, sincerely to God, that loses. So when it is time to give, forget your stinginess, break it. Take something heavy. Be like Father Abraham and put on the altar. He was going to offer his only son, Isaac. And in Genesis 22, verse 5, he called it worship. He told his servant, he said, wait here. I and this lad were going yonder to worship. I underline that scripture. I have an only son. Me. One only son. For me to take my only son, I'm going to offer him as a burnt offering. And I call it worship. That is the heart of Abraham. That was the heart of faith. That's the heart of the covenant. The only son here. And he said God can bring him back again. And God did. Ooh, what a faithful God. Now, Adam failed. And then in chapter 9, God renewed the covenant after God accepted the sacrifice of Noah. Noah canceled the curse, restored the blessing through sacrifice. As I stand here today, whatever looks like a curse, smells like a curse, operates like a curse in your life or in your family, I cancel it. Every near success syndrome, I cancel it. There are families that all manner of curses have dodged their lives. And it goes from one to another, from generation to generation. But today, by the blood of the Lamb that died at Calvary, every curse is revoked. I release the blessing. The blessing. The blessing. The blessing. All the things that have been working against you, they are nullified. The thing, good thing that had not been working for you, we begin to work for you. You walk in favor. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say a big amen. And you see, like Adam, God wanted Noah to pass it on from generation to generation. Somebody please declare, say from generation to generation. I am blessed. You're not talking. Say from generation to generation. I am blessed. Who is blessed? Biologically, Noah succeeded. I'd like you to listen to me. It's good to have many children. I'm an advocate of it. Dr. Kai, when I see my children of marriage age now, I ask them, I've asked one this morning. I was walking there, I said, I greeted her. She never greeted me. I already knew she was a married woman because I saw the ring in her hand. I said, how many children do you have? I think she was thinking that I was asking her whether she is married. So I said, how many children do you have? You didn't get it. I said, and she said, I'm a married woman. I said, I know. I know. I see the ring in your hand. Well, look at you. I said, how many children do you have? I said, two. Uh-huh. I said, three more. I even asked, I said, how many more? He said, one. I said, no. Three more. He said, ah. I said, say yes, daddy. I put my hands on him. I said, go tell your husband. Baba said, three more. Don't laugh. Oh. Let's multiply godly seed on the earth. The Muslims, they are multiplying suicide bombers. They are multiplying killers. Only God can rescue Europe now. If God does not intervene, under 50 years, the whole of Europe will become an Islamic enclave. And Islam, when they take possession, they shut the door. Turkey was a Christian nation. All the seven churches of the Asia Minor, they are located in Turkey. They took over and they shut the door. The whole of North America, Egypt, Libya, Morocco, Tunisia, they were strong Christian enclave. That was a place where Saint Augustine of Hippo, he labored in those areas. But the Muslim overran the place, and the place now is impenetrable to the gospel. Now, our brethren in Europe, they don't want to have children. Many of them don't want to marry. And what they call marriage is not marriage. You know, when God made them Adam and Eve, they are calling it Adam and Steve. Man and man. woman on woman. So the population of the white original indigenous owners of the land is going down. It's terrible in Switzerland and several other places, all European nations. And the Muslims are coming in and they are breeding like rats. 8 per family. 12 and more. And Muhammad Gaddafi boasted, it's recorded on video, that it looks like Allah will give Muslim the whole of Europe without firing a shot. That let the Muslims that are there now just be breeding. And it's a matter of time. Islam will triumph. But he that sits in the heaven shall laugh. Amen. Jesus will triumph. Amen. So when I say multiply, don't tell me how. Multiplication begins with 4. 1, 2 is the beginning of fruitfulness. If you are 2, husband and wife, to multiply means you begin from 4. If I knew what I know now, I would have had 8 children. 8. Anyway, Genesis chapter 9, verse 19. Noah had 3 children, 3 sons, and by the sons, all the earth was populated. Am I correct? Genesis 9, 19. But Noah failed. He didn't pass the blessing on. He was supposed to be blessing and blessing. Even in his life, he cursed one of his sons. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 11, the case of chapter 6 has started again. The whole place was confusion, Babel. God says, spread. They say, we're not going to spread. We'll climb to heaven. We'll shake hands with you. And God says, you? Okay, I will scatter you. And he scattered them until he found another man. He found Abraham. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, failed. He was to go to Canaan. He died in Haran. I won't go there today. The Bible does not celebrate Terah because failure is never celebrated. Never. Never. History is always written from the angle of the champions, from the angle of the winners. Terah failed. But Abraham, everybody, are you listening to me? Yes. Till we stand here today, the generation of Abraham are still the generation that carries the blessing. Abraham took responsibility to teach his children. Now, please listen to me. To teach his children the way of the covenant. Study the scripture. He taught Isaac to raise altar. Write it down. He taught Isaac himself raise altar all through. I mean, Genesis 12:7, Genesis 12:8, Genesis 13:4, Genesis 13:8, Genesis 22:9. Abraham raised altar everywhere. The altar dominated the life of Abraham. That's why he was that powerful. He was a covenant-minded man that raised altar everywhere. He taught his children. Genesis 26, verse 25. Isaac raised altar. Genesis 28, verses 18 and 22. Jacob raised altar. Genesis 33, verse 19. Jacob raised altar. With a meaning. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was their God because they raised altar to him. Raise him altar in prayer. He will answer by fire. And he will show himself to be faithful. And he will be your God. Anywhere. Abraham took time to teach Isaac. Teach Jacob. And they passed it on. Up until today, the Jews, they don't mix. Now, there are
some funny Jews, they're homosexual, but real Jews, they still maintain their culture, they maintain their identity, they still maintain the covenant that Abraham taught them till today. And the Bible says, Galatians 3, 7, they which be of faith, they are the seed of Abraham. Verse 9, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Let me close. I've gotten to the point of closure. How is it that where Adam failed, Abraham succeeded? Where Noah failed, Abraham succeeded? Where Terah, his own father, failed, Abraham succeeded? I want to prophesy on somebody here. What killed your father will not kill you. What limited your father will not limit you. Whatever it is that your father could not overcome, you will triumph over it. You will triumph. You will triumph. The limitation of your father will not be your limit. You will soar. You will soar in the name of Jesus. He didn't allow the terror thing to limit him. I'll show you this secret. Genesis chapter 18, let's read from verse 17. God himself showed us the secret. From that point on, it is the generation of Abraham that has been blessing humanity. Every line of the scripture, every word of the scripture was written by the seed of Abraham. Everyone. Some Bible scholars said Luke was a Gentile. It's a lie. Luke was a Jew. Every word of the revelation of God came to us through Abraham. The patriarchs came to us through Abraham. The prophets. Even Jesus in the flesh was a seed of Abraham. He said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Why has God so blessed him? God blessed him on earth. And when he got to paradise, he was a king in paradise. Everybody that went to paradise went to Abraham's bosom. Paradise is empty now. When Jesus died, he led captivity captive, took them out of paradise. Now we go to God. When a believer dies, now you don't go to paradise. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But Abraham was so blessed. Blessed here, blessed there. Because of this. Verse 17, please. God said, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Please raise God an altar in your home, wherever. And then the revelation of God will come to you. God will reveal to you what he does. Verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely, this is God speaking, Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessing him. This is my heart cry. Pray for me. Enter you remember me, pray. That God will make me become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth will be blessed by me. When you pray for Christ like church, use this scripture. Please, somebody declare, say, I shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in me. Verse 19. God must say, for I know him. God was bearing him witness. God couldn't say this about Adam, couldn't say this about Noah, couldn't say this about Terah. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So the performance of what God said to Abraham depends on how he brought his way up in the way of his children up in the way of the covenant. Success without successor is failure.
If you carry the blessing and you didn't transfer it to your children, you are a colossal failure. Failed. Abraham took responsibility to induct Isaac into the covenant. Induct Jacob into the covenant. And they have been doing it from generations. I know every one of you, where we have made mistakes before, let's repent. And you will take responsibility. God help me. You are blessing me. Yes. I want to bring my children to walk in the way of the Lord. I want to walk in this scripture. Take responsibility. Adam didn't take responsibility for the blessing God put on him. He failed. Noah didn't take responsibility for the blessing. He failed. They didn't pass it on. Terah failed. But Abraham said, no. What finished those my father? Won't finish me. I will succeed. Where others fail. I want to prophesy upon you. Where others have failed, you will succeed. Amen. The mantle of the blessing to rest on you. Amen. And to rest on your children. Amen. And their children. Amen. And their children. Amen. And their children. Amen. From generation to generation, you are blessed. From generation to generation, you are blessed. From generation to generation, you are blessed. You will not fail. Stand on your feet, lift your hand, and just bless the Lord. Just give Him glory. Give Him glory with a loud voice. Celebrate Him. What a mighty God, what a faithful God, what a glorious God, King of Kings, Lord of Hosts, El Shaddai, Lord Adonai. The God who blesses. Ramakaboka Kadika Tayagaba. Everybody pray in the Holy Ghost now. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Samakaboko diketuka barabakaya. Arika rabakaboko dikata. Karika rabakabakaida. Elamakayabo ikrabokida. Kaluma taika limo. Omlemo kinekaya. Ulama handi ketuka babai. Iyamakule bukata kabarimada. Lift your voice. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Oribinga luba goba gadidi nikre kubakabaya karama tute ishke no bokoba kaida arama kaboko dikendre bokobaka orama araba kama ifreke. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Lift your right hand to God, declare, say, Father, Father, I receive your blessing upon my life for the rest of my life. I will walk in the blessing from generation to generation. I am blessed. My children are blessed. Their children are blessed. All my generation till Jesus returns are blessed. Come and pray that prayer. Makayabo. All my children till Jesus returns are blessed. All by your mercy I shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through me. Obika namo kobakadi katoya makabo kudakaida erika numba katokobo kodiketerebo kobagaya arabo katoka kubika tokobakaya ifrekolobo. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lift your hands. Say, Father, anything that is contrary to your blessing in my life or in my family, by the blood of Jesus, I overcome it. By the blood of Jesus, I cancel it. It is written, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. Today, I cancel every curse. And I release a blessing upon my life, my family, my children. Can you pray that prayer? I cancel everything contrary to the blessing. Everything contrary to divine favor. Everything that represents struggles, oppression, affliction, sickness, poverty, lack, whatever. I cancel it by the authority of the living God.
Mangaluba kataye koba. And I release the blessing by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You remember he answers by fire. Am I correct? An answer to prayer is a reward. So pray well. Pray through so you can break through. You're going to pray for your family now. You pray for, if you are a woman, you pray for your wife by name. Mommy, her name is Victoria. You will carry the blessing. The blessing will multiply. You will not die before your time. No sickness, no poverty. You will pick your children by name. You call them by name. John, you must walk in the way of the Lord. Whatever will hinder you from walking in the way of the Lord, I cancel it. I knock it off. You will call your children by name and command the blessing upon their lives. Generation. The generation of the upright is blessed. Father, I refuse to fail. I will not fail like Adam. I will not fail like Noah. I will not fail like Terah. I am a seed of Abraham. I will succeed in passing the blessing on unto my children and their children. And their children. You, as you are praying, you will include who your children marry. People of the covenant, they don't play with it. When it was time for Abraham to be married, he called Eliezer. He said, put your hand on my laps. Swear with me. Swear to me by God. You will not let my son marry any of this. You will go to the place where I came from and bring a wife for myself. It is important. It is one easy way the enemy can interrupt the covenant. Because it is through marriage that the next generation will produce. So you will pray, Lord, by your grace, I will not fail. My children will not fail. They will not make a wrong choice in marriage. They will not make a wrong move in destiny. Whatever will make me to fail or make any of my children to fail, oh God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I cancel it and nullify from generation to generation. I am blessed. Even in marriage, I'm blessed. In choice of marriage for my son and their children, oh God, I'm blessed. Lord, by your grace, I will not fail like Adam failed, By your grace, I will not fail like Noah failed. By your grace, I will not fail like Terah failed. Oh God, I receive mercy to succeed. I receive mercy to prevail from generation to generation through the mercy of the Most High God. Ibra makabaka ida. Ibra makalaboko diyan. Ora makabaka do di di da da. Ora makaduka doko. Pray in the Holy Ghost now. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Ibra bolobo sotaka yebo gabagari adere. Manglabo kodi ketoko makaboko da. Shana malabo. Ora mababa. Janda roba kaduda. Come on, pray. Maraboko di ke tokori ke roboku de ke te. Mambra bolobo sotori arere. Je karabaka bakari. Obra malaba santai. Aramakabo. Ma ye karabalaba sande yerere. Ye bro bolobo so ya kore. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Finally, I want you to commit yourself to the altar of God in your heart. If God gives you an opportunity for a house fellowship in your house, the ark came to the house of Obed-Edom and everything changed. God gives you an opportunity to raise a church, God bless him. God gives you an opportunity to build a sanctuary. That's a honor he didn't give David, the man after his heart. The man wanted to build a sanctuary. God said, no. You have been too much into war. Your hands are full of blood. So any way you can raise an altar, do it. And this morning, by the Spirit of God, you will be an instrument of God's altar. An agent of God's altar. Wherever you go, the fire of the altar will be kindled. Through you, the fire of God's altar will spread to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. In the mighty name of Jesus, through you, people will come to the altar of our God. It is done. In Jesus' name. Amen.